Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Changes, turn and face the strange changes.
Just gonna have to be a different man.
Time may change me, but I can't trace time.
Thanks, David.
Wow. That's actually way harder to do because of the octave changes and the tempo changes.
The octave what?
Changes?
changes?
And the tempo changes? All
right. That's right. Hello, everyone. We are talking about changes today, specifically changes and upgrades you can make to the Commander 2019 decks. You're watching / listening to the Command Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Boy, the singing was more embarrassing that time than usual.
What? I thought it was great.
Okay. So you bought this deck, the Sultai Morph Faceless Menace deck. Now you want to get it up to speed and, you know, get it into your playgroup, start running it as soon as possible, and you want it to have a chance to compete with the other decks. But it can take a while, especially if you want to like completely overhaul it. So what we normally do when the Commander decks come out, and we're going to do it this time for each and every one of them, is just suggest some quick upgrades. We're talking 10 cards in, 10 cards out. We also set ourselves a budget limit of approximately $25, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
So that it can be reasonable for most people to just slot these cards in, take these out, and then we believe with these slight changes, you can be competitive with, you know, most decks. You're not going to be up in the 9-10 range, but
let's take you from a 6 to a 7.
Yeah, you can compete in the 7-8, you know, around the 7 range.
Yeah, but if you want to shop from a 10 level store, make sure you go to cardkingdom.com/command zone. The cards that we talk today we often use their pricing list to figure out exactly how we can fit 10 awesome new cards in the $25 budget range. You can also trade in the cards that you don't use to Card Kingdom to get store credit. So make sure you use our affiliate link, cardkingdom.com/command zone. Very convenient.
Yeah, and for a limited time, if you pre-order or order any of the sealed Commander 2019 product, you will get a code that will unlock a special background on our Life Linker life tracking app.
Yeah,
so that's just bonus gravy. Doesn't cost you anything extra.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Another way to support our show is to support our other sponsor, which is Ultra Pro. You can find their stuff at Card Kingdom or your LGS or all over the world. They do all the themed stuff that kind of goes on your battlefield that isn't the cards. So you can get a Kadena playmat, Kadena sleeves, a Kadena deck box, or you can do the other commanders in the C19 set. If you don't want to build Kadena, you could do Savine or some of the other ones.
Yep.
Ultra Pro really makes great stuff. They will protect your cards. You really don't want your cards getting messed up.
No, that would suck.
Yeah, that would be bad. So protect that stuff. Put it in an Ultra Pro sleeve. That's the best way. Play it on an Ultra Pro playmat. And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/command zone. In fact, we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to
Dylan McMillan. Wait.
Dylan, your name rhymes. That's cool.
That is so cool.
I bet your parents are smart.
Yeah, or you don't like that it rhymes.
I would like that it rhymes. It rolls off the tongue. Dylan McMillan. Do you have any brothers or sisters that don't rhyme? That would really be feel bad
well,
for that, them.
I say it because I grew up with Freddie and Jimmy, and Freddie are very similar sounding ends of words. So we would always be confused because someone would call me Freddie or someone would say Jimmy, Freddie. Oh, God, I don't know which one I'm talking
my
to.
Dad was famous for because my name's Josh. My sister's name is Jesse. I have another sister named Jody. So he would be like, why do you name all your kids start with a J? Like, he'd be like, Jesse, just get over here.
Someone come over here.
All right, let's jump into this deck.
Sultai Morph.
Yep. Again, 10 cards in, 10 cards out, total budget of around $25. We're not going to do a hard cap, but we don't want to go much past that.
Yep.
We're going to leave the mana bases as is. It's just not that fun to talk about, hey, put in this shock land, which is good because it doesn't mess with our $25 budget.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the mana base is totally fine out of the box. You definitely can upgrade it, but it's going to run. It's like, yeah, you're not going
to... They built these decks to work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's talk about the new commanders in the deck first of all. Kadena... We've talked about it a couple times, so let's read it again.
Yeah, Kadena, Slinking Sorcerer, 1 in Sultai, so that's black, green, and blue for a 3/3 legendary creature, Naga Wizard. Now, the first face-down creature spell you cast each turn costs 3 generic mana less to cast, and whenever a face-down creature enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. So you get one free morph creature out of your hand anytime you cast it, and every time a face-down creature enters the battlefield, you get a draw card, and that can happen as many times in a turn as you can have face-down creatures entering your battlefield.
Kadena is ramp. And card draw.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for Morph Tribal or Manifest, Morph and Manifest Tribal, I suppose. The second commander in the deck is Volrath, the Shape Stealer. 2 black, green, blue for a 7/5 shapeshifter. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a -1 counter on up to one target creature. And then you can pay 1 until your next turn. Volrath becomes a copy of target creature with a counter on it, except... Volrath is a 7/5 and has this ability. So Volrath, pretty, cool. Pretty tricky, can turn into multiple things if multiple things out there have counters, and you can stack those triggers and sort of respond to them in between. So there's a lot of tricky stuff you can do with Volrath, and just a powerful card.
They stay as a 7/5 too, which is relevant.
Yep.
Ryami, First of the Fallen, is the third new commander. It's 1 and again Sultai, so the same casting cost as Kadena for a 5/4 legendary creature vampire. If a non-token creature would die, exile that card with a blood counter on it instead. And as long as an exiled creature card with a blood counter on it has flying, Ryami has flying. And the same is true for First Strike, Double Strike, Death Touch, Haste, Hexproof, Indestructible, Lifelink, Menace, Protection, Reach, Trample, and Vigilance. So Ryami waits for creatures to die. They get exiled instead, which is really important against graveyard decks. And they have a blood counter on it. And then any of those creatures with blood counters on it, whatever keyword abilities they have, Ryami adopts them as well. So vampire becomes... A very scary, scary one.
Yeah, slowly gathers keyword abilities throughout the game.
It's like a vampire is biting them every single time they leave the battlefield and be like, I want your powers.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm not sure how that deck looks. Do you put a bunch of your own creatures with keyword abilities to die and get exiled? But are you just hoping that they have good keyword abilities your opponents do that you're going to get? I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
The final commander, new legendary creature anyway, in the deck is Grismald the Dreadsower. It's 1 black and a green for a 3/3 legendary troll shaman. So this cannot be run as the commander right out of the box because Grismald doesn't have blue.
Mm-hmm.
It has trample. At the beginning of your end step, each player creates a 1/1 green plant creature token. Each player. Okay. And then whenever a creature token dies, you put a 1/1 counter on Grismald. So Grismald slowly gets bigger as the tokens, presumably, that you're giving everyone else, all of it dies. We talked about this a little in our new commander review about how there's pestilence and a bunch of stuff you can do with it. Grismald not really in the running, again, out of the box to be one of the commanders. We always do this. This is our first one of these, so we'll just go over it. But it's not always a given that you're going to run the face commander who's on the box as the commander of the deck. You know, when you buy it, shuffle it up without changing it or whatever. So we always like to look at the stats of the deck and decide which of the commanders you want to run. Now, for some of them, it's very obvious, and for some of them, it's not.
Yeah.
I guess it's time for the stats.
A lot of you commented on the new graphic we have for that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to Tiago, who actually is one of our fans who created that stats graphic where, like, they fly down, like, a couple years ago.
Yeah, and emailed us out of the blue, and we were like, it's pretty cool.
And we sort of forgot to use it, and then it just kind of sat on our server, and we were like, wait, we have this thing. We should use it this year. So, yeah. Tiago, thank you. You rock.
You rock.
Okay.
Tiago.
Yeah, so the stats in the deck, there are 11 ramp cards.
Okay.
8 card draw cards.
Including the commander.
Yep. 4 board wipes and 12 targeted removal. You'll notice these stats are the same from when we did our deck reveal video. Mm-hmm. We like these stats a lot. This looks almost perfect. Maybe even a little high in the targeted removal category, but wow.
Yeah. Everything here, I mean, I would add more card draw, even though the commander is card draw on the stick. And yeah, targeted removal 12 seems a little high, but in general, this, if you just showed me a deck and said this was in it, I'd be like, this is good. This is great. Like, I'll need to know more about the deck to know that you're doing something right.
Right, but we're talking in the margins. We might add a couple more here or take one or two out. Yeah. You're not vastly off, which I think is awesome. And all of the decks were designed sort of, quote-unquote, correctly, according to us, in this mm-hmm. area. So now, this year, maybe unlike years past, we don't have to mess around, like, hey, add these card draw spells.
In, yeah.
We can actually add, like, say, hey, add these fun cards that are, you know, because it's easy to say, like, add Rhystic Study, add, you know, Rampant Growth, blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of boring for every deck to want to add that stuff.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they designed them where they're good on that access, a lot more fun for us.
Also means that you could do something that we normally do, which is, like, you can take out a piece of targeted removal because you got so many.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some other stats here in relation to who you should be running as the commander. So this is what we're sort of going to look at to tell us which of these three commanders we should run. It's for this one, it's an obvious answer, but
yeah,
we'd like to go through the motions anyway. There are 22 morphs in the deck, or cards that create face-down creatures like manifest cards. There are 9 cards that care about or benefit morphs or face-down creatures. So that's for Kadena, obviously.
Seems like we're being pushed in a direction.
Yeah, anytime there's more than 20 of something, you're probably going to want to do that thing. There are 10 creatures with counters on them or that care about counters. This is for Volrath, because Volrath cares about counters. They're mostly Megamorph creatures, though.
Yeah.
And there's like one Proliferate card. So that theme is not super well supported. And then there are 9 creatures with keyword abilities that Rayami would care about. So
not very relevant there.
Yeah, I just don't think you're running Rayami or Volrath. And there's honestly no obvious synergy with Grismald at all.
Yeah, you're not really making tokens. Grismald only looks really good if your other opponents are making a bunch of creature tokens and they die, so he gets big.
Yeah, you have no way to really pump the amount of tokens Grismald is making. You don't have any obvious ways to kill those 1/1s all the time.
Also, he doesn't have
obviously,
blue.
He doesn't have blue, so you couldn't run him. So very obviously, this deck is skewed towards Kadena, and 99.9% of the time you're going to run Kadena, maybe 100% of the time you're going to run Kadena as the commander out of this deck if you want to try and win for fun. For fun you could do Volrath or something, but I don't think the deck is going to run as well.
Yeah, and also just when we were testing it, we thought the same thing, like, well, we could use someone else, or you could just play Kadena, and because Kadena is going to draw you so many cards over the course of the game, you're just going to draw the other commanders, so you just pretend like they're your commander once you draw them.
Yeah, you'll get to try both out if you do Kadena, whereas if you do Volrath, you might only get to try Volrath out.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about the best cards in the deck. I think this is probably the best
the
card
single
that
best
comes
card?
In the deck, probably.
Yeah, I mean, this is a draft favorite of both Josh and mine. It's Secret Plans. It's green and blue for an enchantment, and face-down creatures you control get +0/+1, and whenever a permanent you control is turned face-up, draw a card. So this with Kadena means you are drawing a bunch of cards in this deck.
It's very powerful, and making your morphs 2/3 is relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, now when you play a morph, you draw a card. When you flip it up, you draw a card. That's just great synergy. If that's not the best card in the deck, then this card is probably the best card in the deck. It's Trail of Mystery, 1 green for an enchantment. Whenever a face-down creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library.
So
you'll draw 2 cards with Kadena. Basically, one of them is just going to be a basic land.
Yep.
And then whenever a permanent you control is turned face-up, if it's a creature, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Yeah.
This actually surprisingly relevant, too, because it makes it even harder for your opponents
to attack into something.
Yeah, or block you when you attack. And there are a lot of morphs where, like, it's bad news for them one way or the other. Like, if they block, it's bad news. If they don't, it's bad news.
Yep.
So this just makes it even harder for them to sort of deal with knowing what you might have.
Yeah, and both these enchantments only cost 2 mana. They're very easy to cast early on, or when you have Kadena, and because you're getting the mana discount, you could cast this and the morph on the same turn. If Kadena always said draw a land as well as another card, pretty darn good.
Yeah, really good.
This may be one of my new favorite cards of the set. It's a brand new card. It's called Scroll of Fate, 3 mana for an artifact. You can tap it and manifest a card from your hand. So you put that card on the battlefield as a 2/2 creature, and then you can base it becomes a morph, but they call it manifest because it's slightly different than how it enters the battlefield usually.
Well, also, and a manifest is flipped up for if it's a creature.
Mana cost, right.
If it's a creature, it flips up for its mana cost. If it's not a creature, you just can never flip it up.
Yeah. And it doesn't have special text or a morph cost on it.
Right. So you can, like, if you have too many lands or something, you can just turn one of them into a 2/2 creature and be like, I've got three lands in my hand. I don't really need this thing.
Also, so hard for someone to attack you again now because you can just make a free blocker.
And in this deck specifically, it'll draw you a card with Kadena.
Yeah.
And then it could be a morph, which you could flip up for the morph cost, or it could still be a manifest, like just another creature in the deck that you can flip up for its mana cost.
It synergizes with Secret Plans as well as Trail of Mystery.
Yeah.
It's just very, very powerful. And three mana, you can use it immediately.
Another one of the best cards in the deck, also a new card, is Thieving Amalgam, 5BB. So 7 mana for a 6/7 Ape Snake. It does look like an Ape Snake.
I feel like LSV would like that.
It says, at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, you manifest the top card of that player's library. So if I pass the turn, goes to Jimmy, and before he draws, he untaps, and I go, wait, hold on. Take the top card of his library and manifest it as a 2/2 on my side of the battlefield.
But that's my card.
Yeah. Now, if I have the right mana colors, I can flip it up if it's a creature.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have the right colors, though. This doesn't anywhere say, like, you can pay mana as though it were mana any color, which is
that would be insane.
Which is too bad. But whatever. I get a 2/2 on... That's on everybody's upkeep. Mm-hmm. Then that's not it. There's more. It says, whenever a creature you control but don't own dies... Its owner loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. So now if that creature I manifested from Jimmy, if he attacks me and I block with it and it dies, he's going to lose 2 life and I'm going to gain 2 life.
Dang it.
If you have like sack outlets and stuff, I mean...
Even if the board wipe just would drain the whole table.
We played in a couple games where this stayed alive for a couple rotations and it becomes super oppressive.
Right. You might say 7 mana is a lot, but 7 mana and you pass the turn to 3 different people, you're getting 6 power worth of creatures that may be able to be flipped up. Or
and
you're
this
just
thing's
taking,
a 6/7.
Yeah, and this thing's a 6/7. So that's 12 power over the course of one turn. And honestly, I found it really hard to remove Thieving Amalgam because you often have better things you need to get rid of. So 7 mana is a lot, but the impact is pretty big.
And then, like you said, once... The normal counter to, like, you create a bunch of free creatures is board wipe. But if that gets too big, it's like, I'm going to board wipe. I'm going to take 6. Everybody else can take 6. And they're going to gain, like, 18.
Yeah, it's Kakusho.
Yeah, very strong card.
All right. This next card,
you had to read this one.
Love it. This card has been played to great effect on game nights. Shout out to Vinny.
It's a sweet card.
Ixodron, 3BB for a star creature illusion. As it enters the battlefield, turn all other non-token creatures face down. They all become 2/2s. Ixodron's power and toughness are each equal to the number of face-down creatures on the battlefield. Now, they're just turned face-down. Your opponents don't get to morph them back up.
Yeah, they're not manifested.
Yeah, they're not manifested. You can't flip them up for their mana cost. They're just 2/2s.
However, your morphs, you still can flip them back
up. Yeah, use them again.
Because morphs don't care why they're face-down. They just care if they're face-down.
Yep, and then you get to trigger all of your Trail of Mystery, Secret Plan sorts of things. Ixodron is incredibly powerful. It's a board wipe that feels more like humility in a way. It turns everyone's creatures into just useless things, and then boom, you can start trading them off against each other. They're great to block and attack.
It's super annoying when somebody Ixodrons because, yeah, all your stuff is, it's worse than if it died.
Yeah.
Because now I got to get it in the graveyard to maybe get it back out, but it's useless to me out there on the battlefield. Yeah, that card's great. Let's talk about some notable reprints in the deck. There's a really good one. I think this is it's either the highest value reprint or top 2 in Commander 2019.
Yeah.
I think Geth may have been up there. But it's Seedborn Muse, 3 green for a 2/4 spirit. It says untap all permanents you control during each other player's untap step.
It's 1/2, if not better, than the old Prophet of Kruphix because you're untapping all your permanents, including your mana rocks and lands.
Yeah, it's crazy. And with Morph specifically, it makes total sense because you play your morphs, and then you need that mana on other players' turns to flip them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that ability can just be supreme value.
Yep. There's also Temp with Discovery, a card we talk a lot about in the show and play a lot with. It's a 3 and a green sorcery with Tempting Offer. So basically, you're going to go into your library and search for any land card, and then all of your opponents get to decide in order if they also want to do that. And for each opponent that does do that, you get another land card. So you could get 4 lands for the price of 4 mana, or 1 land if everyone knows to say no to you.
Yeah, say no. Or go get strip mine.
Yeah, get your land removal spells.
And the last reprint that we're going to talk about is Thran Dynamo, 4 mana for an artifact that taps for 3 colorless mana. This is just a kind of staple-y card that always over time creeps up. Mm-hmm. So I think it was around the $5-6 range. It'll go down now because it's been revealed as a reprint, and then watch, 2 years, 3 years, it's going to creep right back up, because this is just the kind of card that goes in a lot of decks.
Yep, and it's an artifact. Now, a lot of people were asking us about the, like, sort of the reprint value. We determined the price when we did the reviews, but this deck in particular had like a list of like 15 cards that are all over $2. Just a lot of small value add reprints over time. So it's not all of them are going to be big and flashy like Seaborn Muse, but there's a lot of value packed in here.
Yeah, the otherwise. Approximate reprint value of this deck before the previous season started, just the reprints again, not the new cards, was about $96 or $97, somewhere between that.
Yeah. I think people forget like Sol Ring is like a $5, $6. Command Tower is a $3 card.
I have seen some grumblings online that people are still not happy with the reprint value in this set, and it's way better than last year. Last year's was pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Every one of these decks has a few cards in the $6 and $7 range. I think we got to temper our expectations a little bit, to be fair, because there is problem. I've said to you guys out there, I've said to Wizards, literally like in meetings with game designers at Wizards, I think it would be good to put one high-value reprint per deck and something in the $15, $20 range. I used to say Vidalcan Orrery. That's gone above that range now. I used to say Sensei's Divining Top would be a good one. Rhystic Studies one we throw out there all the time. I used to say sort of Vesem Famine. Again, that's above that range now. There are reasons why they don't want to do that. And the major reason is when you put one big high-value reprint in a deck, what tends to happen is that people start buying that deck and hoarding it that they don't need it, because the value is so high, and then it becomes hard to find that deck.
Yeah, it inflates the market.
Yeah, for players that want the deck to buy and play with. And so Wizards has a really small needle to thread where they want enough value that everybody out there doesn't get super mad. But at the same time, if they put too much value, then it becomes hard to find the product.
Yeah, and this is, again, product geared for new players. I like what they did, which is like, let's slam the value in a bunch of smaller cards in the $2-$3 range.
There's quite a few $5 and $6 cards. Like, there's 3 or 4 in each deck. So, you know, listen, is it the best case scenario for reprints? I don't think so. I think we could maybe do a little bit better, but it's pretty good. I mean, you're getting more than $100 in value worth of cards. If you count the new cards, it's probably well over that. It's hard to know where the new cards will land in value at this point, but
yeah. I would also say that it's really valuable to think about like prior case scenarios, like the Jaleva deck or the Helava deck. I think had True Name Nemesis in it.
And that screwed up everything.
No one could buy it. No one could find it. Yeah, and that was something that was unintended, too.
The Atraxa deck. Atraxa got... Now, this was because of new cards that they designed, but Atraxa got so expensive by herself that it became hard to find that deck, and a lot of people that wanted to build it couldn't even find it.
Yeah. It's a difficult balance to make. I don't think the online chatter may fully take into effect just how crazy of a process it is to deal with like a online market like this as well. Like Magic is one of the few games that has this individually unique problem. That's why they do sets like Modern Horizons to reprint new cards. But at the same time, when you buy a Modern Horizons pack, you don't know what's going to be inside it.
Yeah.
When you buy a Commander 2019 deck, you know exactly what's going to be inside it. So that makes reprinting cards a little bit harder because people are going to target their buys as well. Especially, people forget this all the time. Retailers would just go and crack open hundreds and thousands of Commander products just to get one single out of it to sell.
Especially
that
if there was a $20 card in each one, I mean, they wouldn't even put it on the shelf probably. They're going to crack it, sell the $20 card, and then know they're going to get their value back from selling the rest.
The singles, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that actually hurts the more casual player that has a chance to pick up these decks.
Yeah, it's tough. I do wish they would put like one $15 card in each deck. I think they could do it. But at the same time, if you think about it out there, your EV, your expected value on any booster pack, on any booster box, is generally less than the cost of that thing. Right. Not so with Commander product. Yeah. Your EV is guaranteed higher than the MSRP. Like, we did the math. $97 just in the reprints. It's not $97 to buy the pre-con
deck. Even if it gets cut in half and it goes down to $45.
Yeah, it's true, but don't say that out loud.
I know, but like, but I'm just sort of saying, like, even if the reprints took the value of the cards and all halved it, you're still getting a decent amount of value. So, like, yeah, when you buy a booster box or a booster pack, you're not getting that. So, also, one last thing. This is a product intended for new players. If you are an enfranchised player and you are upset at the value of reprints in the deck, you don't need to buy it. We say this all the time. You vote with your wallet. Someone else may buy it and love it, but you don't need to be that person.
Right.
And
you can just literally buy only Kadena
and the singles,
Scroll Fate, and a couple other singles, and then you already probably have most of the other cards, and so that reprint value doesn't matter to you. Yeah,
save
that's
yourself
true
some
too.
Time and mental anguish.
All right. Before we continue, we're gonna go into next the cards we would add, the cards we would take out to quickly improve the deck. But before we get into that, we're gonna take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, we are back. Next up, we are going to be talking about the cards that we would take out and the cards that we would put in. 10 cards, $25 limit to make this deck hum a little bit better, sing a little bit better with its lead singer, Kadena. And, well, let's see what you got here, Josh.
Yeah, we split these up because there's four decks, so I'm doing this one. The next episode, Jimmy will do, which is the Rakdos deck.
Rakdos.
I don't know about you, but I found it harder this year than normal to figure out what to take out of the deck. Usually there's like a bunch of crap, and I'm like, well, this is obviously out. And then often in years past, I've been like, there's 15 cards I want to take out. So which of these bad cards are the best?
The best of the bad, yeah. I actually got to 8 cards that I found were easy, and the last two I sat and anguished over for like a half hour being like, well, do I want to get rid of this synergy for that?
I was like, there's like the last 3 or 4 cards you could run these cards perfectly fine and they'd be good in the deck.
Yeah.
But I have to find 10 to take out. So that just speaks, I think, to how well designed these decks are compared to decks in the past. And that's a testament to our friend Glenn Jones, who is very heavily involved in designing these decks, and Gavin Verhey, another friend of the show, who I think oversaw that project. I think Glenn was like, you know, in the trenches on it.
Thank you, guys. I remember buying my first Commander Precon and playing it, and it was garbage.
Oh, in the old days, there was like one-third of three decks shuffled together. This one feels cohesive, Okay, so let's talk about the cards that we would add. One thing about Kadena that's important to note is her first line of text says, the first face-down creature spell you cast each turn costs 3 less to cast. So the ability to cast a morph or a creature spell on your opponent's turns is paramount in this deck because it will allow you to take advantage of getting that 3 extra mana on it. What, like, the difference between I get 3 extra mana on my turn and the I get 3 extra mana on everybody's turn, that's 9 extra mana
you get.
And you get to draw the cards when you play the morphs because of Kadena, and so you can just get that engine super rolling. That's 4 times more effective if you can find some cards that allow you to cast things at flash speed, which is already something that you know I love. However, the bad news here is that, as I alluded to earlier, Fidalcan Orrery would be our entire budget for this deck. They need to reprint that card. Please reprint that card soon.
Yeah, it wouldn't affect standard, right?
I know people get mad at me because they think every time I talk about it, I make it more expensive and I'm like ruining it somehow.
It's your fault, Josh.
Yeah, every time I talk about it, I'm trying to get them to realize, hey, we need to put more of those out there. That is not a card that should be $27. Yeah. However, they did reprint a very similar card recently.
Very recently. Maybe this is them being like, hey, we want to do this and affect standard at the same time. I don't know. We'll find out.
So Leyline of Anticipation got printed in M20. And it is in the Leyline cycle.
So basically all these cards, if you draw them in your opening hand, you get to play them for free on the battlefield. Some people might say that this is actually better than Vidalcan Ori in certain decks.
Yeah, but I think in most decks with blue it is better. I talk about Vidalcan just because it's colorless. So it's two to blue for an enchantment. Like Jimmy said, it has that the writer text of if it's in your opening hand, you may begin the game with it on the battlefield.
Free four mana.
So that's even before your first turn. That's before anybody does anything.
Yeah.
And it just says you may cast spells as though they had flash. It's right now $4.
Get it.
Buy it. Buy a couple of them because this got up to around 20. It will go up again. We know from Vidalcan Ori.
It was in a core set, which means a lot of these are going to get printed. So you have a pretty good chance of getting it around this price. I would just say go for it.
There's like a promo version of some kind. Like just get in there, get a couple of them. You're going to want it in some decks, especially this one. So that obviously allows you to do the thing, play the morphs on other people's turns, get extra value. There's two other cards. I think this is so important to the deck that I devoted three of my 10 slots to, hey, you should cast things at instant speed.
I like that.
Vivian, Champion of the Wilds, is the next one. She's one of the Planeswalkers from War of the Spark. Two and a green for a 4 loyalty Planeswalker. She has the static ability of you may cast creature spells as though they had flash.
Pretty cool. For 3 mana, yeah.
I mean, I even like this one maybe better because you cast her before Kadena comes out. Then you cast Kadena, and now Morph is free on my turn. Pass to your turn. Morph is free on your turn.
Draw a card.
You could have four morphs out on turn. You're untapping on your turn five. You have four morphs, Kadena and Vivian.
Speaking of Vivian.
Drawn a million cards. Oh, yeah, Vivian's here on the playmat.
Different Vivian.
On my Ultra Pro playmat.
Very nice.
I'm not even going to read the abilities on Vivian. They could be important, but they're not a big deal. That's mostly why you want her is the flash
speed. Card draw as well on top of her to find more cards in your library.
And then the third card that gives things flash speed is a land. It's Alchemist Refuge. This is the most expensive card of the bunch. It's around $7 right now. It's a land that you pay. It taps for colorless mana, or you can tap it and pay a green and a blue, and it does exactly what Leyline and Vivian do, which it allows you to cast spells as though they had flash.
This turn only.
Yeah, for this turn. So it's
still very good.
It's not as good as the other two because it's difficult for me to be like, use it on Jimmy's turn, use it on Mel's turn, you know, use it on Ashlyn's turn. But again, if you have just one extra morph to play per round of the table, that's still drawing you the cards, still taking advantage of that extra mana. And then if you had something like Seedborn or whatever out, you could use it on everybody's turn. So there is some synergy. So yes, giving creatures flash, instant speed, very important to the deck. And I think will up the value by like a significant quotient.
Give you more amount of play too, especially with a card like Kadena. I think is going to be one of those commanders that people will remove more quickly than not just because it generates so much value.
Yeah, true.
All right. Well, speaking of value, let's put more face down creatures on the battlefield. Josh has included four new creatures that all help to do this. First up is a card that I have not seen in quite a while. It's Primordial Mist. Primordial Mist is 4 in the blue for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, you may manifest the top card of your library. So it comes in the battlefield as a face-down 2/2 creature. And then you can also exile a face-down permanent you control face-up. You may play that card this turn. You still pay its cost. Timing rules still apply. So if you manifest a sorcery or an enchantment, now you can play it with Primordial Mist.
Yeah, pretty great. Even a land. If you just needed the land, you can use this ability.
You can play that card. Yeah, casting it, you're playing the card.
Yeah, so I like this a lot. It gets you extra manifest cards are face-down creatures entering the battlefield, so you'll draw the card off Kadena, and then if other cards in the deck, like Scroll of Fate, let you manifest things, and you can use that second ability now to play non-creature spells.
The question is, because you're exiling the card and you're doing it face-up, does that count for Secret Plans and Trail of Mystery as a card that's being turned face-up? However, it is under your control, so I'm guessing when you exile it, it doesn't trigger the two.
I don't think that'll work for the non-creatures, but if you can still, if it's a manifest, it's a creature, you don't have to use that second text.
You can just flip it back over. Yeah. Right.
And imagine if you accidentally manifest Secret Plans itself. Usually that would be so sad, right?
Yeah.
Now you're like, nope, I'll exile it face up and then cast it.
Yep. And you also get an extra card draw trigger off of Kadena at the beginning of your end step.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
The next one is Whisperwood Elemental, and this one is from Consblock. Fate Reforged, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Fate Reforged.
It's 3GG for an elemental to 4/4. At the beginning of your end step, manifest the top card of your library. Then you can sacrifice Whisperwood Elemental, and until end of turn, face up non-token creatures you control gain, when this creature dies, manifest the top card of your library.
Huh.
Board wipe protection?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
And again, extra manifest, extra card draw.
Yeah, imagine, oh my gosh, Kadena's somehow indestructible. You do this, or you just sack your entire thing, and then boom, you manifest everything, draw a bunch of cards. That seems really powerful.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Good job, Whisperwood. Ugin, the Ineffable, doesn't make... Actually, yes, he does make manifests. He also makes... Ugin's just great. 6-mana Legendary Planeswalker, comes with 4 loyalty, and colorless spells you cast cost 2 less to cast. So now all of your morphs cost 1 if they're not free from Kadena.
Yep.
You can +1 to exile the top card of your library face down, and you get a look at it. And you create a 2/2 colorless spirit creature token. When that token leaves the battlefield, put the exile card into your hand. And this -3, which I think is the more important, destroy target permanent that's 1 or more colors. This actually does a lot of stuff. You get a exiled card face down. You look at it. It doesn't trigger any of the when the face down creature enters the battlefield, but you do get a little spirit token. You get to draw that card if your low 2/2 dies, and you can just blow up a permanent.
Yep, and the -2 to colorless spells is big. Morphs costing 1 is a real big deal because you're going to often want to play more than one on a turn.
You could chain together some crazy turns.
Yep, and you want mana open a lot too because the morphs, in order to flip up, cost mana generally. And so just being able to be like, play more for free, play more for 1 mana, hold up 4 or 5 mana. Now, either one of my morphs or maybe both could flip up and do stuff is way better than being like, I'm only holding up 1 or 2 mana. Because most of the really powerful morphs require 4 and 5 to flip up and really do something bad. Like, you got to worry about, they're going to jack my spell or something when they've got 5 mana open, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is Jeskai Infiltrator. This is a simple one, but a lot of value. So it's 2 and a blue for a 2/3 human monk. It can't be blocked as long as you control no other creatures, which is unlikely to happen. We're not too worried about that. But when Jeskai Infiltrator deals combat damage to a player, you exile it and the top card of your library in a face-down pile. You shuffle that pile, then manifest those cards. So you get to manifest the Jeskai Infiltrator and the top card of your library, which will trigger Kadena twice. 2 face-down creatures entering the battlefield. Draw you 2 cards. And now, 2 things I like about this. It's a 3-drop. So you play it on 3, you play Kadena on 4. Now you're attacking. And on probably one of your opponents, hopefully, will have a free attack. So you're going to just immediately draw 2 cards, play a morph, draw another card. And now on the next turn, if you attack with all 3 of them, well, they don't know which of the manifests is the Jeskai Infiltrator. If you have a free attack, you're good. You can flip it back up, do that again, draw 2 more cards.
Or shuffle those cards and put it back on. No one knows which one's which.
So this could draw you 2 cards a turn, possibly. Or also, like, you know, you could just play the odds, be like, I'm going to attack you with 2 manifests, 50-50 chance you block the wrong one, and still get the card draw. Yeah, it's just a very simple card. It's only like a quarter, but I think very good in the deck.
Yeah, to clarify, every time, so this specifically has you shuffle the manifested cards and then put them on the battlefield, because you can know which ones they are, but this is to make sure your opponent doesn't.
Right.
But if you were to, like, for instance, play another morph, your opponent will know that that morph is different than the 2 that were manifested by Jeskai Infiltrator.
Right.
So they have limited knowledge, but yeah, that's kind of a fun game to play.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, and the final category I called Get Tricky With It. I think one of the cool things about Morph is getting tricky with it. You hold a lot of your mana open, and so being able to sort of have multiple ways to take advantage of that is good. This first card we talked about in the new commander review, I think it's so strong. There's so many scenarios where this card will just bring your opponents to their knees. You want to read it?
Yeah, it's Words of Wind. 2 and a blue for an enchantment. It's not Rhystic Study. You have the activated ability. You can pay 1 generic mana, and the next time you would draw a card this turn, each player returns a permanent they control to its owner's hand instead. So it replaces your card draw with a force everyone to bounce a permanent to their hand, which is great because Kadena's drawing you so many cards.
And also, on the morph play, it triggers, right? The card draw trigger. So you go, I play my morph for free. Trigger, I'm going to draw a card. In response to that trigger, I pay the one. I'm not going to draw that card. Everybody's going to return a permanent they control their hand. I'm going to return my morph. What are you guys going to return? Oh, crap. Yeah. Something.
A land, an artifact, a creature, a token, that something they don't want to return.
I'll now, say let's say I have one of my flash cards out. I just wait until Jimmy's card, do the turn, do that again. Or I could just replay the morph, pay the three, and then pay one more. And now I bounce two permanents from everybody. Like, if you do that three times, game over.
You set them so far back, unless they're making a ton of tokens. But if they even have to drop one land back to their hand, that's rough.
I mean, you will just lose the game if you have to return. You like basically rewind two of your land drops.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah. So this card is very, I think, very powerful in the deck. And returning morphs you flipped up could be good. So you could play a morph for free and then return a morph that you flipped up. So now I can redeploy it face down to flip it up again. So returning things to your hand is something you just want to do.
Actually, playing this with Rhystic Study seems really mean.
Yeah, because now they got to redeploy and make you draw even more cards. And then
no matter what they're losing, they either have to pay one for the spell, or you're going to draw a card, or instead they're going to make them bounce something. Yeah, it seems
brutal, brutal. Yeah.
Okay. Next card to get tricky with it. Team Aurora Shaman. I always wanted to play this card. It seems so great. Four green for a creature human shaman 4/5. When Team Aurora Shaman enters the battlefield, manifest the top card of your library. And whenever a permanent you control is turned face up, if it's a creature, you may have it fight target creature you don't control. That's pretty fun.
All your face down morphs and creatures become removal spells when they flip up. Also, morph is a special action.
Yeah.
So the timing on this is pretty intense. Nuts, although it will trigger the Teemer War Shaman, which is not a special action. So, but still, you can do it at instant speed at weird times.
Yeah, and it's a May ability, so you don't have to have it fight it. But even if it's like, hey, I'm going to attack block with you with this Jeskai Infiltrator, like, crap. All right, well, I'm going to flip this thing up, get rid of that or whatever, or get rid of a blocker. Make sure that you get to save your cards.
Yep. And so we're down to the 10th and final card on the list. I believe Seedborn Muse to be one of the best cards in the deck. And so a second Seedborn Muse, or as close as we can get to it, seemed like a really good idea. So I'm recommending Wilderness Reclamation. It's
Wilderness Recommendation, more like.
It's three and a green for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, untap all lands you control. So it's a one-time Seedborn Muse. It's all lands, not permanents.
Yeah.
It's a decent amount worse, although it's an enchantment, so harder to remove, but very, very powerful, especially given that we are already leaning into the cast things at flash speed part.
Mm-hmm.
So this works very well with that as well.
Yeah, and just having the ability to untap your, even if you're getting one extra turn where you're like, I'm going to Kadena out two more things, draw two more cards, that's, you know, replacing the fact that you had to play a four-mana enchantment.
Yeah, flip something up where I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I said,
yeah, playing all your morphs out and then having all your lands untapped so you can hold the mana for an entire turn cycle is even, you don't need to be playing something every single turn.
It's hard to quantify how much advantage you gain, but you definitely gain a lot of advantage by having morphs on the table with mana open.
Yeah.
In that it forces your opponents to play in a way that's uncomfortable for them. Yeah. There's certain things they'll be unwilling to do because of what you might be able to do. And you never get to know exactly what that information is, but I guarantee that's an advantage and a pretty big one.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about the cards we would take out of the... I lose. That was a good throw.
And landed on the
side. Yeah, it's there. It's by the window. The last steps are one of those episodes where you like wedged it into the chair.
What was amazing. Of that? I guess you do this for 5 years. At some point, the paper's going to go.
I want you to try and repeat that every time now.
Oh, God.
You didn't even try. You just whoop.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about the 10 cards to take out. The first two are two of the commanders that I believe just don't synergize at all.
Yeah.
And are kind of like wasted space. Although Volrath, I would still keep in the deck because it's just kind of powerful on its own.
Yeah. Volrath is just one of those like good stuff creatures. Yeah. It'll get value. It can clone something, which is always important. So
it could kill stuff too.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
So Ryami, we talked about earlier. I just don't think there's...
What anti-synergizes against your deck in a little bit of the way? What if you want to, you know...
Yeah,
if
your creatures die and you want to get them back. You have Den Protector and stuff like that. Yeah. So I just... And there's only like 8 cards with the keywords that Ryami cares about. Yeah. So it's just not worth having in there.
And Grismold, you're for another deck. It's okay.
You definitely don't want to be giving tokens to your opponents in this deck necessarily. You don't have a way to take advantage of it. So you're just giving stuff to people that you don't have any way to sort of like make strategical advantage for yourself from that. So yeah, those two are easy. takeouts. This next card is in a couple of the decks.
Yeah, I hate this card.
I don't like this card.
I'm sorry, whoever made this, whoever designed it.
Listen, they often design cards for different types of players, and there's probably a type of player sees this and thinks it's really cool. We're just not those players.
Yeah, it's the Pendant of Prosperity. It's a 3-mana artifact. It enters the battlefield under the control of an opponent of your choice. So that's a 3-mana do nothing.
3-mana
give someone a card.
That seems bad.
2-mana, the opponent...
Remember, your opponent has this, so yeah, they're going to choose to activate this ability or not.
2-tap, draw a card. Then you may put a land card from your hand on the battlefield. Pendant of Prosperity's owner draws a card. Then that player may put a land card from their hand on the battlefield. So you're the owner, so you're both going to get the symmetrical effect where you tap, pay 2, and tap it. They have to pay the 2, by the way.
Yeah.
They tap it, draw a card, and they can put a land on the table, and then you can do the same thing.
So, like, I cast this card, I give it to Jimmy, and then I'm like, I hope you pay 2-mana and tap it so that you'll draw a card and put a land in the battlefield, and so will I.
Yeah.
But Jimmy could very easily just be like,
nah,
I'm never going to do that. You just lost a card for nothing.
For nothing, yeah. Or, like, I don't need to draw a card and put a land on the battlefield. I just played Rampant Growth or whatever it is. I mean, maybe you're giving this to the mono-white player every time.
Or you are the mono-white player.
Yeah.
And maybe you can make friends at the table and somebody will do it. I think imagine if that card just said, when it enters the battlefield, its owner draws a card and puts a land on the battlefield.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And now it just...
Or it's kind of like Humble Defector, where if it exchanges control, they get to do the same thing, but they have to pay to activate it.
I just like to guarantee get something out of it when I first cast it. Yeah. And then if they don't use it, it doesn't really just totally suck for me.
It has Group Hug written all over it, but it also has Hope your players are willing to invest 2-mana into this thing that you also gain advantage from.
Yeah. I mean, Zedru and stuff, obviously, but not this deck.
Or decks or cards that like let you give mana to other people.
Okay, so all the rest of the cards, maybe with the exception of one or two, I thought you can make an argument that they're fine and they could stay in the deck.
Yeah.
So that's how well-built the deck was. The next one we're going to talk about is Voice of Many.
I like this card a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's 2 green-green for a 3/3 Elf Druid. When Voice of Many enters the battlefield, you draw a card for each opponent who controls fewer creatures than you.
Yeah, a little conditional, but you get to draw a card. I mean, I think this is great in a Flicker deck.
Yeah, yeah. However, I think, like, you don't have ways to blink it. You're not really... a go super wide guarantee I always have more creatures than everybody else deck. You will have more creatures than a few players sometimes, but there'll be times when this is 4-mana, 3/3, draw a card, which is just not good enough in Commander, I don't think.
Yeah, draw unless 2 cards maybe.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Just play Harmonize.
Yeah, it does get a little better maybe with Words of Wind, but I still think you probably take it out.
Yep. Bounty of the Luxa, it's a fun one. 2 green and a blue for an enchantment at the beginning of your pre-combat phase. Remove all flood counters from Bounty of the Luxa. But if no flood counters are removed this way, you put a flood counter on it and then you draw a card. Otherwise, you get to add colorless green and blue. So it's a kind of ramp kind of card draw. It's on and off each turn, but it is a little slow and it costs a lot of mana.
Yeah, and it's just on the turns you want the mana, you might be drawing the card. I would rather just know it's going to give me either the card draw or the 3-mana every turn. The fact that it flips back and forth is a little annoying. The next one is a new card in an interesting design. It's Mire of Misery. 1 and a black for a sorcery. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or enchantment. Black.
That's it.
Getting enchantments, sort of.
Sort of.
I think the choices are just too wide. You're not often going to get what you want with this a lot of times. And when we played the pre-cons, I had this in my hand for a lot of one of the games. And I knew exactly what everyone was going to sacrifice when I cast it.
And it wasn't
worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, I wish that they didn't sacrifice that enchantment, but they won't. They'll sacrifice that creature. And I don't care about that creature. So casting this now just does nothing. Yeah.
Thought Sponge. Great name. 3 and a blue. Flash, creature sponge, 1/1. Enters the battlefield with a number of +1/+1 counters on it, equal to the greatest number of cards an opponent has drawn this turn. Yeah. So it'd be like after like 2 players of Consecrated Sphinxes go off and draw 100 cards.
Sure, sure.
You flash this in and you have 100-100. However, when it dies, you draw cards equal to its power. So maybe you don't want to do that and deck yourself back.
So I take that back.
Yeah. But it's for the person that has like that explosive turn. Even if it comes in with like... 3 counters is like the best scenario.
So it's a 4/4.
It's a 4/4. You draw 4 cards when it dies. It only costs you 4 mana.
It has to die. But it has flash, so I guess you're hoping that they draw a bunch of cards and then attack?
Yeah, and then flash in and block, get a bunch of cards back. Who knows?
Yeah. Usually players on the turns, they're drawing a lot of cards. They're not attacking because they're using their turn to draw cards.
Right.
And so then you're flashing it out, but everybody sees it. And now they could exile it or bounce it or get rid of it in some other way. I believe this was Cassius's preview card, though.
Oh, nice.
It's interesting. I just don't think there's enough synergy in this deck for it to... Like, if you're like messing with plus one counters and have sacrifice outlets, then I think maybe it could work.
Yeah, this is good in a Marchesa deck, I think.
Yeah. The next card is Explore. It's one in a green for a sorcery. It says, you may play an additional land this turn, draw a card.
Hey.
This is the type of card that I think early on people put in their commander decks, and they just learned that it's just not as good as Rampant Growth, Farseek, Nature's Lore.
Unless you have landfall triggers, but even though just regular ramp spells are good too, this can go in certain decks, but it's just, in general, not that powerful.
I mean, for the same mana cost, you can draw the card and put it into play guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right? Farseek does the same thing.
Yeah.
It draws you a card, it's a land that's going to go into play tapped. This is, the only thing you possibly get out of this is a land that's untapped, but the downside is if you don't have a land in your hand when you cast this, you might just not get that part at all.
Yeah, it's risky.
Yeah. Just go for the guaranteed. Go for Nature's Lore, Farseek, Rampant Growth, Secure Tribe Elder.
Next up is Scare Tiller, a card that's in all of the precons.
It's a cool card.
Yeah, it's a really cool card, just not in this deck. 4 mana, 1/4. Whenever Scare Tiller becomes tapped, you choose one. You can put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped, or you can return land card from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. So it just needs to be tapped. It can either be attacking or have another way to tap it. Yeah, you get to ramp yourself a little bit or get lands back from your graveyard. However, this is not the deck that cares about those things.
Yeah, and also, I think Scare Tiller is going to be sweet. Boros, it's really, really good. You need fetch lands because really the put a land from your hand onto the battlefield is way less powerful than graveyard to battlefield. Graveyard to battlefield is card advantage and ramp at once. The other one is just ramp, still costs the card out of your hand. You, on game nights, which one was it? The one with Amaz and Nerd Girl, you played that Azusa. Played 2 lands that turn, and then didn't have any more lands in your hand, so couldn't continue to take advantage of it. That's kind of what Scarecrow Tiller can do if you don't have fetch lands in your graveyard.
In your graveyard, yeah.
And we didn't have the budget to change the mana base in that way. So I could see it being playable, although once you've tuned the deck with fetch lands and stuff, you're in green, you have better ways to ramp. This is really a Boros card.
Yeah. It's a card that, mono red, even mono white, just cards that really want, or colors that really need it.
Yeah. And the last one is Tezzeret's Gambit. This is the last card that we're suggesting you take out of the deck in favor of the other cards. Tezzeret's Gambit is 3 and a Phyrexian blue mana. Again, Phyrexian mana can be paid with either that color, 1 blue mana, or 2 life. And it just says, draw 2 cards, then proliferate. So in this deck, because there are only like 7 or 8 cards that care that have +1/+1 counters, and we're taking out a couple of them, the proliferate is unlikely to matter. In which case, it's just a bad divination. It's just a high-costed divination.
Yeah.
And divination is not a card we would generally play.
And you're drawing enough cards from Kadena, to be honest.
Yeah. So those, again, really quickly, I'll read them. The 10 cards we would take out. Tezzeret's Gambit, Scare Tiller, Explore, Thought Sponge, Mire in Misery, Bounty of the Luxa, Voice of Many, Pendant of Prosperity, Grismald, the Dreadsower, and Rayami, First of the Fallen. So those are the 10 cards we would take out of the deck. And before we wrap up this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about how the deck plays. We kind of forgot to do that earlier. I think we both agree that, well, at least I think this is the most powerful of the 4 precons out of the box.
I think it has the most value baked into it, and it also has I think it's the hardest to play. So
yeah.
As a result, I think because of those factors, it's the best precon.
But I think it feels like it's got all the pieces. It has the value, it has the ramp, and it has good ways to close out the game. It can actually get there, and it gets its engine going almost every single game. It just feels like, not that it wins every game. I think all of the decks are good, and the power level is pretty close. Even the least powerful one has a chance to win games.
Yeah.
But I just feel like if you have to pick, you know, order them 1, 2, 3, 4 as far as power, I would put Soltai at the top.
Yeah, I think Geared is pretty close behind it. They just play so differently.
Yeah.
Geared's about exploding on the battlefield and putting out huge creatures, but this one has a lot of trickiness to it. And also just card draw staple to a commander is so important, especially because it has both of the things we always talk about, card draw and cheating of mana costs.
Yeah, so this deck is a very good deck, even without the changes, although I think the changes will make it, like you said, somewhere in the 7, 7.5 range.
7.5.
Pretty quickly.
Good times.
All right, to the listeners, what do you think of the Soltai Morph deck? What cards did we miss that you wish we talked about, but we didn't? You know, a lot of people are talking about Ixidor. which I think is a good card in the deck, and then the price is going up right now because of that. However, because of the budget, I didn't feel like one card taking up, you know, $12 was probably worth it.
Pretty rough.
Makes it tough, yeah. But if you do want to pick up Ixidor or any of the cards that we suggested that you add to the deck, or the deck itself, which you can pre-order right now, and let me just say, first of all, go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Use that affiliate link when you do order any of your Magic product singles, anything like that. What I want to say is they sell out every single year on Card Kingdom. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a year in the last, I think, four, where by the time Game Nights is out, basically all the pre-orders are gone. They've sold out. And so if you want to get a hold of them, I would suggest going there sooner rather than later to pre-order that stuff.
And if you pre-order it, and if you're using our affiliate code too, they're also running this cool special promotion for all those pre-orders of the C19 decks. You get four unlockable screen backgrounds for Lifelinker, our Life app, that are going to be color coordinated with the decks this year.
That's really cool. Yeah, I forgot about the color coordinated thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're just so good at planning that stuff.
And you can also coordinate your playmat.
Oh,
and your decks and everything else.
We unfortunately messed up. We should have put the
C19
ones out.
Nah, because Ultra Pro makes a wide variety of products across many sets. So you really get to choose that. Hey, you love Vivian? Well, why not a Vivian from a different set with a better art that you like? Anyway, Ultra Pro products, they support our show. So next time you're at your LGS or on Card Kingdom, you can buy some stuff and really make your whole existence just a little better, honestly. Yeah,
I am in favor of the people though that get the playmat, deck box, and sleeve Kadena themed for the Kadena deck.
For the Kadena deck,
you only see it sometimes, and every time I'm like, that is cool.
Yeah. I mean being thematic is awesome.
Yeah. It's like dressing nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you see those people and you're Tire like shoes. Like Ben Bateman and you're like, that guy dresses really nice.
Yeah, I gotta respect him more. That's actually how it works in psychology. All right. No end step today. We have tons of bonus content, so we're just going to keep things nice and wrapped up. So let's wrap up the episode.
All right. Done. Speaking of Ben Bateman and nicely dressed people, he does a podcast with another one of our friends, Alex Kessler. It's called The Masters of Modern. They're our sister podcast. You hear us talking about them every single week. They talk about the modern format and all things competitive Magic. You can find them on Stitcher, on iTunes, just search for Masters of Modern. YouTube, they do videos
Spotify,
now.
Yeah, it's all there.
If you go to Twitter, they're at the MMcast, and you can also find them right next to us at collected.company.
Our editors for the show are Ashlyn Rose, and a big welcome back to Craig Blanchett, your Phyrexian king. And a big thanks, as always, to Jeffrey Palmer for the living card animations that adorn our set behind us, as well as start and end all of our episodes at youtube.com/thecommandzonepodcast. You can find Jeffrey at livingcardsmtg on Twitter.
I want to give a big shout, especially to Ashlyn, because we're doing a ton of extra content, all those reveal videos. And Ashlyn really is spearheading and in charge of most of that stuff. She does the thumbnails, a lot of extra work for her this month. So way to go, Ash. Thanks for helping us out.
Thumbs up. You rock.
You definitely rock. All right, everybody. We will see you very soon, where we're going to break down in a similar way another deck, the Rakdos deck.
Yeah. See you then.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com. Or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.